Hallelujah. Our name is Christ. We commence our testimony section. First, we'd like to praise and thank God. We're going to have six of our brothers and sisters going to testify. So the name of the Lord will be glorified. And I hope that all you can give them full attention and also, you know, try to learn what is God trying to teach us through their testimonies. So the first, we'd like to invite Sister Grace to come up and testify for the Lord.
Let's all bow our heads and pray in silence. Hallelujah, amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I share. Instead of testifying about a life-threatening experience or a miraculous event, I want to share one blessing God has given me the past year. Oftentimes, we hear pastors, counselors, or RE teachers encourage us to pray to God to give us a spiritual friend. So I spent many prayers asking God to give me a spiritual friend who I can pray with and share encouragements with. Thankfully, God answered my prayer this year and gave me a spiritual friend. I first met the sister while we were still in elementary school, and we were placed in the same group for music camp. But because at that time she had just first moved from Taiwan, so we didn't get to talk or get to know each other a lot. But during the summer before my sophomore year, she moved to Irvine and luckily was also going to attend the same high school I go to. And so through that, we were able to talk to each other more at school and at church and share encouragements with each other. Although we all have school friends, the difference between a school friend and a spiritual friend is the difference in perspective. School friends look at things through a worldly perspective, while spiritual friends look through biblical perspective, God standards. There is this one time when I got into an argument with my dad about my faith. And at that time, I told both my best friend and my spiritual friend. Although my best friend was able to share some nice encouragements, but my spiritual friend was the one who could truly comfort me. When you share the same faith with a friend, they are not only able to comfort you, but are also able to give you encouragements and advices from a biblical perspective. A spiritual friend also prays for you. During the last spiritual convocation, I was assigned to play the piano. Usually, I would ask the speaker and hymn leader beforehand so that I can practice and I wouldn't feel as nervous. But this time, I only knew the hymns I was playing from the hymn leader. So at that time, I was very nervous. But during lunchtime, before the afternoon service, my spiritual friend knew that I was really nervous, so she went into the chapel with me and prayed for me. During the prayer, I truly felt blessed to have a friend pray for me. After the prayer, I felt more comforted and more calm. I truly felt that God has sent me a personal angel who God can speak to me through this sister. Therefore, I encourage those who don't have a spiritual friend yet to pray to God to give you a spiritual friend. It isn't up to us who we choose as our spiritual friend, but God will bring us one once the time is right. A spiritual friend truly helps keep us on the right path to eternal life. They pray for you, comfort you, and encourage you. I would like to share a verse in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9, and the first half of 10. It says, "Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion." So I am truly blessed by God for giving me a spiritual friend who holds my hand as I climb up the mountain. May all the glory, praise, and honor be on to our God in heaven.
Praise and thank God for Sister Grace's testimony. Even though it's quite short, but actually it's very meaningful. Because right? As young people, quite often, we all need friends. We all need friends. And it's nothing wrong to have friends, but you must understand that the friend that's in the world, of course, they can have fun with you, they can do many things with you. But the friends in church, they're the one that truly can love you. Why? Because they not only can love you physically or emotionally, but also spiritually. But the friends in the world, even though they want to love you so much, but it's difficult for them to love you the way God loves them, because most of them do not have the love of God inside their hearts. So that's why, I mean, the thing that Sister Grace mentioned, that look, you know, her spiritual friend she gave her spiritual advices. Especially, you know, when she argued with her dad. Most of the friends that's outside, maybe it's like, yeah, your dad, you know, is yelling, you don't need to talk to him, that kind of stuff, right? Because a lot of other kids also experience parents' problem too, right? So they're not going to be able to give you good advice. But if you have a person who truly loves God and love you and your family, and they know how important it is to be close to God, so they will give you spiritual advices. But not only that, most of our outside friends really cannot pray for us or pray with us or comfort us in that way. But a friend that is in church, they can pray for us, they can comfort us with the word of God, and they always can see things God's way. So it's important, actually. Let's go to the book of Proverbs quickly. Chapter 1. We'll Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Let me read this to you, right? You can see what is the most important point here that God wants to share with us. Chapter 1, verse 10. Proverbs starts from chapter 1, verse 10. My son, if sin entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Saul and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possession. We shall fill our house with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. Here, you know, even though this group of people, right, they don't do things according to God's will, and they don't do things right, why do they still have people follow them? Here, what is the most important point here? Why do people follow such a person, even though you know that they don't do things that is good? Anyone? What word in this verse that they repeat a lot? What word? Huh? I'm sorry? What? Us. They repeat the word a lot, us, right? Let us do that. Let us do this. Because when you talk about loneliness, even though sometimes we know that our friends are really bad and stuff, but we feel so lonely. So when they say, let us, we want to do it, right? Because I don't want to be by myself. So when even bad friends want us to join them, quite often we feel like, oh, at least I'm not alone, right? But actually, you cannot feel that way. God is always with you. And God is always going to be your BFF. He's always going to comfort you. So the time that you and I feel lonely sometimes, we must pray more. We must read God's word more. Don't go, even though someone says, let us. You feel so good, right? Come with us, right? Wow, so nice. I'm such a loser. I'm such a loner. But they say, come with us. They say, let us lie in wait and shed of blood. Even though, yeah, they go and lie with shedding blood, but they say, let us. Right? I feel very good. I feel very good. And you can see, continue to, right? Let us swallow, right? We shall find all kind of precious possession. We shall fill our house. Then look at verse 14. Cast in your lot among us. Let us. So at your age right now, it's so important to have friends. But make sure you choose wisely. Better be alone with no friends than be with so many people and feeling alone and sinning against God. So we hope and pray to this Sister Grace testimony that it's so important for us to find spiritual friend. Right? Find spiritual friend. So we don't need to go out and find those friends who will not do things according to God's will and cause us to sin against God. So thank God. Next one, Catherine, please.
Let's all bow our heads and pray in silence. Hallelujah, amen. Okay, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I testify. So this past year was my last year in high school. And before entering into my senior year, I thought everything would be super easy and relaxing because people always say, senior year is so easy. So when college application process began, I slacked off on writing my essays and asking teachers for letters of recommendation. As September and October slowly passed by, I still hadn't done anything. And soon it was clear to me that it was too late to ask teachers to write letters of recommendation for me. So that meant I wouldn't be applying to out-of-state colleges. And as November rolled around, I began to notice more of my friends and other seniors talking about applying to colleges. However, I was very aloof about the situation, and I just said YOLO. I didn't really understand my own thinking at the time, but every day my schedule was practically the same, and I always had time to fill out my college applications and write my essays. So a normal day would be 1 o'clock, school would end, and I would go home to eat lunch because I didn't have a sixth period. And after that, I had like 10 hours until I had to go to sleep. So I spent the majority of my time procrastinating, watching Korean dramas or playing games on my iPad. And sometimes I would take 3-hour naps. But nevertheless, I always slept at 1 o'clock in the morning because I wasted so much of my time. And this would ultimately be very detrimental to both my grades and sleeping schedule. So fast forward to 2 weeks before California State University applications are due. By then, I realized that I really didn't have any time left. But I managed to fill out 3 applications a week before the final date, thank God. Still, I did not learn from my mistake of procrastinating. So I had about a month left until my UC applications were due. But every day at school, I would fall asleep in my biology class and my calculus class because I would always stay up late the night before doing whatever, but obviously not writing my college applications. But I eventually started working on my essays. But you see, I felt really accomplished just by writing like one sentence. So it's like, oh, I can do this later. I just finished a little bit, so I feel really good now. And after that, I kind of just kicked back and relaxed. And senioritis really hit me hard. And I was a long ways off from finishing my essays. But I had a church sister who was kind enough to help me correct and looked over my essays. And because of her coaxing and encouragements, I finally finished one essay. So yay, I thought, but I really had no time to celebrate. The due date was drawing closer and closer for my UC apps, and I began to fear whether or not I would complete my essay on time. I thought I was worried because I would show worry, but then I would end up not writing my essay. And people would often ask me if I had finished, and I would just say, no, dude, I don't even know what to write. But then I would go home and watch more Korean dramas and waste time. Thus, time flew by, and there was only 1 week left. Now, I really realized I didn't have time, and I knew it myself. So I wrote and wrote for days until Wednesday, when I decided to meet up with my church sister, and then we worked on my essay for about 5 hours. But I still didn't finish that same day. So Sunday was the due date for my essays, but I just happened to be extremely busy on Thursday and Friday. So with Saturday as the day of rest, I relentlessly prayed to God during Friday night service to help me and guide me. And when I got home on Friday night, I wrote and the sister corrected, and this went on for a few hours. And ultimately, I finished writing at around 12:30 a.m. And then I copied and pasted everything from my essays onto the UC application website, and I submitted around 1:30 a.m. I was so happy. I finished with it 1 day left, and it was really all thanks to this church sister and my prayer to God. So by the grace of God, I also managed to maintain A and B grades that semester, even after falling asleep in class so many times. Then in March and April, college decisions were being sent out to all seniors, and the CSUs came out first, and I managed to get accepted into all 3, thank God. However, next up were the UC schools. And on the decision day for my dream school, I prayed to God so that I may get in, but as we have learned, We should always pray according to God's will, not our own. So as you may have guessed, I got rejected from that school because it was probably not the one that God wanted me to go to, and I wasn't praying with the right mindset. So from then on, I prayed that I would be accepted to another school according to God's will, and in one of the prayers, I prayed in this way, and I felt an overwhelming sense of peace and calmness. And so when the other two school decisions were out, the second school that I applied to, I was waitlisted, and then the third one, I got accepted. So I was actually really amazed to hear that I got accepted into my third school of choice, because my brother didn't get in, and he's smarter than me, so I was really surprised. But that will be the one I will be going to this fall. And I consider myself probably the most average of all Asian students because I'm pretty lazy and I only get A's and B's. But I really thank God for his guidance. So from this, I hope that those of you who will be applying to college next year, that you do not procrastinate like me or watch Korean dramas in your free time and are wise about how you spend your time. So the first verse I would like to share is in Proverbs 16, verse 9. And it says, "A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps." And the second verse is in Jeremiah 29, verse 11 to 12. And that says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you." So may all the glory and praise be unto his holy name. Amen.
Praise and thank God for Sister Catherine's testimony. So we know that she started off that she quite often procrastinate, or she slack off, or she's lazy, right? So none of these things are good characteristics. But even though in the end she had a positive result, but it doesn't mean that, you know, you and I can just do that and then we also have positive results. Right? So that's why as chosen people of God, it's very important we must give our best. Whatever hands have put on, we give it our all. But God will always give the increase. Right? God will always give the increase. Because I also know many young people, because they are lazy, they don't do what they need to do, even though the things that, you know, that they're doing, it should be very simple, but they're too lazy, and then they did not, of course, get into college that they want, or they didn't get the scholarship that they want because, you know, they just slacking. And then, I mean, from getting like $40,000 scholarship or $30,000 scholarship, and then your parents have to pay for it, right? If, you know, because you do bad in some classes because you're lazy, and that is very painful, right? Lesson that God can, you know, want to teach us. But hopefully that all of you are very diligent. Right, very diligent, and you have to do your best. Right? Sometimes do your best, it doesn't mean you know, it's equal to everybody else. No, your best is different. Just like the woman, she gave one mite to our Lord Jesus Christ, I mean, gave one mite to God, but our Lord Jesus Christ said that she gave all that she had. And that's what you and I also need to do, the same thing too, for God to bless us. Okay? So God bless you. And next person, please, Connie.
Let's
bow our heads and pray in silence.
Amma. 奉主耶稣圣名在此做见证
In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, I testify
对不起,因为我英文不是很好,所以我用中文讲 然后请Joanne帮我翻译
I'm sorry because I can't really speak English that well, so I will speak in Chinese and Joanne will interpret for me
我有两个见证 第一个是关于我妹妹的 然后第二个是我自己的
So I have two testimonies I would like to share with you. The first one is about my younger sister and the second one is about myself.
在我妹妹还小的时候 她那时候只会在地板上爬来爬去
When my sister was young, at the time she was still crawling on the floor.
然后有一次我们全家都坐在客厅里看电视。
So one day, all the family members were gathered in the living room and we were watching TV.
然后一不小心遥控器就掉在地板上面，然后里面的电池就滚出来。
So accidentally, we dropped the remote control on the ground and then the battery rolled out from the remote control.
然后因为我们全家都很专心的在看电视，然后没有人注意到。
And because at the time we were all concentrating watching television and no one noticed that.
然后我妹妹就爬过去把地上的电池捡起来，然后就一口吞下去。
So then my younger sister came around and she just swallowed that battery.
然后在当天中午，然后妹妹就不知道为什么，她就不断大声哭闹，然后长达 一整个下午。
So that day since lunchtime, my sister started crying the whole time until afternoon.
然后妈妈不知道要怎么办，所以她就为她跪下来祷告。
So at the time, my mom didn't know what to do, so she just knelt down to pray.
然后到了傍晚，然后妈妈在帮妹妹换尿布的时候，她就吓了一跳。
So it is until at night time when my mom was changing my sister's diaper, and she was really shocked.
然后就是在妹妹的尿布里面，她所吞的那个电池就随着她的便便一起拉出来，然后在尿布里面。
Because when she was changing diaper, she saw the battery that was in the stool.
然后没想到，就是原来是一颗电池，然后让她不舒服了一整天。
So then my mom realized it was that battery that caused my sister to be uncomfortable and crying throughout the whole afternoon.
然后所以很感谢神，如果没有她的帮助，那个电池就继续留在她肚子里，然后妹妹可能就活不了多久，会有生命危险。
So really thank God for His protection. Otherwise, if the battery stayed in my sister's stomach, then perhaps my sister will not be able to live.
好，然后这是第一个见证。
So that's my first testimony.
然后第二个见证是要讲有关于为什么我这次会在 RHTS。
So the second testimony is about why I come to RHTS this year.
然后这次来这边是一个非常突然的事情。
And it's actually a very unexpected decision.
然后其实在来这边是我6月7号星期天才决定要来 LA。
And it's until June 7 on the Sunday that I decided I will come to Los Angeles.
因为 Ivan 他们家人来到台湾，然后就顺便来找我们全家。
Because Ivan's family visit Taiwan, and while they're in Taiwan, they come to visit my family.
因为去年暑假我父母来到 LA, 然后刚好来到伯恩教会，就认识 Ivan 他们全家。
Because last year during summertime, my parents they were on a family were on a business trip, and that's when they met Ivan's family.
然后当我爸妈离开 LA 回到台湾的时候，他们还是继续保持联络。
And after my parents left Los Angeles, when they went back to Taiwan, they still keep in contact with Ivan's family.
然后 Ivan 他妈妈就来找我父母聊天，然后谈到今年的 RHTS 和 Music Ministry。
So then Ivan's mom chatted with my mom, and she mentioned about this year we have RHTS and also Music Ministry.
然后他们就邀请我来参加，因为我今年刚好考完国中升高中的大考。
And then because this year coincidentally I just finished a test that's a testing.After I graduate junior high, I have to do a testing in order to go to high school, and I just finished that test.
因为在台湾，我们需要先通过大考，然后来决定我们高中的学校。
Because in Taiwan's education system, you have to pass through that test, and then based on the score of the test, then you will know which high school to go to.
所以我今年暑假就比较有充足的时间可以出来。
So that's why I'm more free this summer.
然后我爸妈就决定让我出国，然后是自己搭飞机出来。
So then my parents decided to send me out to the state, and I was on the flight by myself.
然后这对我来说是一个大挑战，因为我从来没有这种经验。然后而且台湾和 LA 又距离很遥远。
And this was actually very challenging for me because it's the first time I'm on the flight by myself, and Taiwan is also very far from Los Angeles, also very far from Taiwan.
然后因此就是，而且妈妈就是觉得我 独自出来可以好好体验神，然后和神可以建立关系。
But then my mom thought, by sending me out alone, it's also a great time for me to experience God and also to build up this relationship with God.
然后，可是我的英文没有很好，所以我很怕在过海关的时候，他不会让我过去。
But then because I can't really speak English that well, and I was afraid when I passed through the U.S. custom, they will not let me go.
但是很感谢神的带领，然后我坐在飞机上的时候就一直向神祷告，希望他可以一路保守我。
But I really thank for God's guidance. When I was on the airplane, I keep on praying to God and ask God to help me, to guide me.
结果就很顺利的，我就来到 RHTS.
And then successfully, I arrived in RHTS.
好，这是一个很棒、很难得的经验，因为所有在台湾教会的弟兄姐妹听到后都非常羡慕。
And this was actually a really great experience for me. And all the brothers and sisters in Taiwan, when I heard about I'm on this trip, they were all very envy.
然后他们都等着我回台湾向他们分享，因为他们说他们明年也很想要来参加。
And they couldn't wait for me to go back and share with them my experience. And they said they all hope that they can come here next year as well.
然后在 RHTS 里面，我发现和台湾学生灵恩会有很大的不同。
And since I'm here, I realize this is quite different than the student spiritual convocation in Taiwan.
然后最大的不同是我们在台湾祷告时间很短，然后大约一次才15分钟。
The biggest difference is the prayer time. Usually, we only have prayer time about 15 minutes.
然后没有禁食祷告，所以我在这边。得先适应一下祷告时间的不同。
And also in Taiwan, we do not have fasting prayer. So when I first arrived here, I tried to adapt to the schedule.
然后刚开始我觉得我非常不习惯，没办法专注。但是慢慢过了几天，我就觉得我那个祷告时间变短，而且我可以专心。
So at first I can't really concentrate, but as time passes, I realize I can concentrate better.
然后我也试着和神对话，倾吐我的心事。
And I tried to, and when I was in prayer, I tried to pour out my heart, and I tried to have a conversation with God.
然后因为这是第一次我自己来美国参加 RHTS, 会觉得很想家、很孤单，然后没有家人的陪伴。
And because this is my first time come to RHTS, and I'm not with my family, so I got homesick, and I also feel lonely.
然后，但是我向神倾吐这些事，他安慰了我的心，然后让我知道我并不孤单，因为还有他一直陪在我身边。
So then I shared this with God in my prayer, and God comforted my heart, and then He also let me remember that I'm not alone because He is always with me.
所以他让我感动的时候，感动到在祷告的时候，有时候会落泪。
So that's why I was so touched, and many times I was moved to tear in my prayer.
然后这是我第一次如此靠近他，如此感受到他的存在。
And this is actually the first time I felt so close to God that I felt His presence.
因为平时在台湾，我课业的繁忙，然后让我几乎忘记了神的重要。
And because when I was in Taiwan, I was really busy studying, so then I almost forgot about how important God is.
然后，但是这一次独自出来的经验，然后我相信这是主耶稣特别安排的。
And I believe this is an opportunity that's created by God that I can come here and have this experience.
因为他希望我可以重新认识他，然后和他有更进一步的接触。
Because he want me to get to know him better and also to have a closer relationship with him.
然后这一次的见证是因为妈妈告诉我说，如果你在这一次一路上都平安顺利，那你就要记得把它拿出来见证给大家听。
And the reason I bear this testimony today is because my mom reminded me if on my trip everything is smooth, in the end I have to share this with brothers and sisters.
所以我就在此和大家分享。
And that's why and today I would like to share this with you.
然后最后，愿一切荣耀都归给天上的真神。哈利路亚，阿门。
In the end, may all the glory be unto our true God in heaven. Hallelujah, amen.
Praise and thank God for Sister Connie's testimony. And first, she testified about her younger sister, even though she was, you know, at this crawling age, that she ate the battery. What size was the battery? Was she?Is it AAA, AA? Oh, that's a bigger one. So that's a double A then, right? Wow. That's really a great miracle, right? Because actually, if a baby just crawling and we might swallow double A battery, and there's no way going to come out that easily, right? But thank God after her mom prayed because she was crying, right? And then when she went to change the diaper, she saw what it was. So really thank God because, you know, battery is really bad for your stomach, right? It's a lot of acid in the battery. So that's why even now, when you throw battery and stuff, well, you got to throw it, dispose it in a proper container, because battery is really bad for you. Never mind, you know, to swallow it. But so really praise and thank God. And the other testimony she talked about is herself, how she got to IHTS, and she's quite brave, even though she doesn't speak too good English, but she flew here. But she always, you know, prayed to God to comfort here, and she made it here very safely. And as she's here, and she realized that, did you say 50 minutes or 15 minutes, the prayer in Taiwan? 15 minutes, the whole once a day? Okay, once prayer. So how many times you pray?
Three times.
Okay, 45 minutes a day, right? So thank God it's not that bad, but of course... compared to how much you guys pray, right? It's also very important, right? And you know, because here we have only 12 days together, and we really want you to experience God, and that's how you can hold on to your faith, right? So that's why when you're here, we pray as much as we can, and many of you average pray in 2 hours a day. There's no doubt, right? Many of you. And not only that, many of you also fast and pray, right? Fast and pray. I realize one thing, like in Taiwan, they don't really fast, right, too. I mean, yeah, because then when the instructor come to teach me, and they're like, why do we need to fast breakfast? Why? Because you know, they really enjoy eating. And I remember one time that one of the ministers, he had to eat early, he had to eat in the morning. There's no way he can fast because he's so used to eating. So at one of the churches, of course, they know that in TTP, there's... we don't eat. So they have no food at all, right? No food at all. So we have no cars, and it was very far from the local store. So he found something. I was just reading something. Then he found something to eat. It was oatmeal. And then he got oatmeal, you know, do whatever. And then when he ate, it tastes like chalkboard. Then I look at expressive age. It's like 15 years ago, really. That oatmeal been in the bag for so long. But I feel so bad for him, you know. But yeah, so that's one thing. That's one thing all the instructors need to get used to too when they come here, right? Because we fast and pray, we fast and pray. But even though, yes, she pray more and she fast and pray, and even though at beginning she cannot focus, right? Because when you don't eat, you cannot focus. But when God moved her heart to focus, and she mentioned that is really the first time that she really feel the presence of God. I feel the presence of God. And that's why, you know, when you and I deny something of ourselves, and God will give us more. And that more is himself. Even though she's here, she's lonely by herself, of course, at this age, when you leave your home, and your home is so far away, you're going to feel lonely. But God comforted and say, look, you're not alone, that I am here with you. And the same thing, right, for us, we should not be depressed as a chosen people of God. And we should not have chronic loneliness. Because loneliness is not because people is not around you. You can be with 1,000 people, you still feel lonely. So that loneliness actually is from the deep void that's inside your heart. But God can fulfill that. So no matter where you are, if you are alone with other people, God should always be with you. So praise and thank God for testimony that, you know, she's here, she's joyful, and during a prayer, she's focused. She's very focused. And not once that, you know, when I see her pray that she feels she's all tired and stuff. Actually, her prayer is always very focused. Why? Because the strength of the Lord is in her. So praise and thank God. Brendan?
Let's all bow our heads and pray in silence. Hallelujah, amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I testify about how God led me through my mom's passing and how he taught me true joy and how he taught me to accept his will. And throughout my life, God has shown me his grace to our family, like especially through my mom, many, many times. And we, some of us in the family called my mom a living miracle. And it was true because she had a lot of sicknesses. And one example that she had breast cancer, and she just like went through a successful surgery, and that was it. And then later on, she had two brain cysts. And she originally needed two surgeries on her head to get those brain cysts out. But after the surgery, she only needed, the doctor told me told her that she only got one surgery, and he successfully got out two of them at that surgery, and that was a great miracle from God. And so that led to last year, oh wait, not last year, 2 years ago during the summer, early summer, when she first got diagnosed with lung cancer. And it already spread to other parts of her body. So she had terminal cancer right when we found out, and she had a maximum of 1 year to live, according to the doctor. And at the time, I didn't think it was that serious because I was so confident that God would heal her. And I knew that God worked in her life and would heal, like, would just heal her after, I don't know, like a couple months or so. And so from July of 2013 to June of 2014, my mom seemed to be doing fine and she didn't get any worse. And so the summer events came in 2014. And it seemed like after each summer event, her condition got worse and worse. And but I prayed hard for God to heal her, but I guess he didn't answer my prayers that time. And so in the summer, she got blood clots, which were like it is a common side effect of cancer. And so it started from her feet, and it spread up to her legs, and if it went to her heart, then it clotted her heart, then she would die. And so it was very painful for her. And she went from using crutches and then to a wheelchair until she was bedridden in late August-ish. And it was too painful for her to walk. And her sickness grew to the point where my family told me to prepare for her death. And in my prayers, I started thinking of a life without my mom, because I was like really paranoid and I was a very pessimistic person. And my paranoid thoughts filled me with a lot of worry, and I didn't know how like I could live without her, especially like as a teenager, you're in the period of life where you need a motherly figure to take care of you. And so I prayed to God not to let her die, because I needed to someone to take care of me. And I kept telling him to, like, answer my prayers, like, according to my will, instead of carrying out his, you know, perfect will. And I was scared that God would take away my mom. But throughout the summer, God, I don't know, in the middle of the summer, God comforted me with a choir song. And some of you know it, actually. I was introduced to the choir song in the car, and my aunt Lena was like, oh, hey, listen to this song. I was like, okay. And so I was touched by the song, and the lyrics of the chorus said, what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if 1,000 sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? And to pair up with that song, God also showed me a verse in 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. And it says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in all circumstances give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So, this passage, I always took it for granted because, you know, it was so straightforward, and I didn't really, like, understand the strength that would come from doing these things. But I knew this was a message from God, so I attempted to do what I was told through that verse. So in my prayers, I started counting my blessings, and the blessings that came from the specific hardship of my mom. And surprisingly, it was no trouble for me. I could think of a lot of things that good that came out of my mom's sickness. And as each day passed, I thought of more and more positive things. And to summarize, the blessings that God showed me were like, he showed me his love, and I truly felt his love. And he brought our family closer together through a family altar. We prayed 30 minutes each night for our mom. And we also had, while my mom was bedridden, we had a lot of visitations. And it was overwhelming, but I could really feel the love of the members that visited. And a lot of members visited, like from each church. And I also felt that God guided me peacefully through this whole trial. And I noticed that my prayer completely changed. And instead of asking God to like do what my will was, I asked him to do what his will was. And I said that it was his will to take my mom back, to make sure that everyone was ready for her to leave. And God indeed was very gracious and didn't take her back until I was ready. And my mom lived actually 1 year and 2 months after being diagnosed with terminal cancer. And even though she spent the last couple of months in a lot of misery and pain, I thank God that she passed away peacefully in her sleep. And on Thursday, September 4th of last year, I was in school when the attendants called me in a panic. And I knew what happened, and it was a blessing I got to go home early. But I was initially sad during that hour, and I knew that I had to accept God's will. And God gave me peace and joy during that day, and everything went back to normal later that day, like at lunch. And so she passed away, and I didn't know why I wasn't sad. I was expecting to be sad, but I wasn't. And so when I look back at my mom, I see her joyful heart and her fervency in servitude. And many of you were there at music camp in 2014, and I'm sure many people were touched when they saw her singing and serving God with all her heart in a wheelchair. And I could also see her joy in the midst of suffering. And she kept on a heartwarming smile when she was bedridden, talking to visitors and encouraging them not to worry or to be sad. And adding on to that, I was also constantly told that my mom's sickness was her final tribulation. And I didn't really get the importance of this statement until right after she died. And when she died, our family contacted Ariel's mom, Auntie Carol, and because they were good friends. And I think she texted back, like, thank God because she's out of her suffering. And then I finally learned the lesson that this world was not my home. And my mom clearly knew this because she kept a joyful heart and a fervent spirit even when she was so sick. And she knew that all she had to do was endure through this last test, and then she would finally meet God in paradise. And so let's all turn to a verse, Romans 8, verse 28. And this is one of my favorite verses because I'll read it. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And this verse reminds me to always thank God for his perfect will. And God's will is always perfect. And even though sometimes, yes, we may suffer, but we suffer for a good reason. We suffer because maybe he wants to bring us back, maybe because we're lost sheep, or we suffer to strengthen our faith. And so in our suffering, we should always remember God's grace. And in our suffering, even though we might be in pain, we should always remember that this world is not our home. We don't suffer for nothing. We suffer with hope that one day we will meet God and be with him in eternal life. And so like Peter Hu's lectures on Philippians, right? To have joy in suffering and to have joy by thanking God. And this concludes my testimony. May all the glory and honor be unto his name. Amen.
Please thank God for Brother Brandon's testimony. even though at a young age, you can see that he, you know, God taught him a lot. And the most important thing that he taught him is that, you know, it's much more important to be with God than to be here. And he mentioned a couple of times that in the end that actually this is not our home. Our home is with our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is true. Even though in the beginning, you know, he mentioned that his mom, she has different kind of illness. But the last illness she had, and of course they all hoped that she would be also healed. But it was not God's will for her to be healed. And even though he prayed for her to be healed, but then in the end, he prayed that God, you know, if you're going to take her, please allow everyone to be ready. And because of this, you know, Brother Brendan, he felt that he was ready. He understand God's will. And this is very important. And, you know, when I listen to his testimony, maybe he's only about, what, 15 years? Are you 15 years old? No. 14 years old. I think he probably spent more quality time with his mother than most of us, even in our 40s. Because it's not the quantity that we spend time with a person, but it's the quality. So that's why it's important for, you know, all of us and all of you who are very young, don't take your parents for granted. You must take the opportunity to spend as much time as you can with them, because for myself, I mean, I'm only my 40, but I lost both my fathers, right? My adopted fathers and also my Cambodian fathers. And it's sad, right? Because, I mean, my fathers, they are my model, my role model, but I lost them, but I know that, you know, it was God's will, right? God's will for it to happen. And that's why it's so important. I mean, I don't know if you heard this, not airplane crash in Indonesia, and 142 people die. Of course, this is a military plane that has, you know, military family members fly on these things. And they would never know that, you know, their loved ones, their children, their father, their mother, they just die and just like that. And you and I also do not know. So that's why we must really spend the time to love one another and to cherish the time, especially with your parents. You know, parents, their love is so abundant toward us. That's why I mentioned to you before, I never raised my voice at my parents, no matter what. Because they've always been so gracious to me. And I'll tell you a quick testimony. I remember in Cambodia, because under the communists, you cannot eat any food yourself. So now if you find something, you get to share with the whole village, the whole community. So one time my mom, she, you know, make us this dessert. Of course, this dessert wasn't that good, but when we ate that night, among just me, my brother, my mother, right, we were eating. And my mom keep telling us, don't share this with anyone, right? Don't tell them. So, of course, me and my brother, we just don't pay attention. So we tell some of our friends. And some of those friends, actually, they are spies for the communists. So because of this, they arrested my brother and I and put us, you know, put bags over our heads and ready to kill us. And all I heard was my mother yelling and screaming, right? Please don't kill them. Please don't kill them. And she begged the communists to the point until they release us. And she's willing, she said, it's not their fault. It's my fault. I'm the one that make them the food to eat. So kill me instead. You know, when I heard that kind of voice, it's, how can I raise my voice at my mother? Right? How can I raise my voice at my mother? So that's why it's important. And another thing that he mentioned, I think it's important that even though she passed away, but actually she is with our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the kind of hope that you and I have and no one else have. When my Cambodian father passed away, of course my mother, she's a believer and she really did not want to let him go. And even though he was a vegetable back then, right, because even he come out of coma, the doctor said there's no way. You know, his brain is all mushy, right? It's like mashed potato. That's what they're saying, it's gone. Right? So my mother, is very tough for her to let, you know, my father go. But then one night, me and her, we were just, you know, putting our heads next to, you know, next to my father, of course, next to her husband. And all of a sudden, she see a man dressed in white. And at first, she thought it was me. But then she looked, actually, I was asleep, and first, I didn't have white garment on, right? So she saw a man dressed in white, and that man just lay hands on her. And she was so comforted. And that time, because she didn't want to take the life support away, right? Because she wanted him. But he suffered so much because every time they clean in the inside of him, he would convulse. So he was like this. And every time you see that, he just feels so sad. So thank God. So Lord Jesus Christ came to comfort my mother. So my mother, you know, she agreed, let's take the life support out because life is in the hands of God. So just the next day, then he passed away. But the most important thing is that when he was being cremated, you know, they asked the family members to pull, you know, to press a button, right, for the fire to come out, right? And there's a little window you can see. So during that time, of course, I'm a believer, my mother's a believer, and my niece, you know, they are believers. But for my older sisters and my older brother, they're not believers. So when my mother went to press the button, just the pain that fell in my older sister's heart and my brother, they just fell down, right? They just collapsed. But for us, we know actually he's in a better place. Even though actually, you know, my Cambodian father, actually I'm his favorite, right? And we have such good relationship. But I know he's in a better place. So that's why for us, yes, even though, you know, death will come to all of us. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow. It's going to come to all of us. But the thought of death, where we go and afterward, that's what will comfort us. That's why Brother Brendan, he shared, right? You know, yes, his mother is gone. But I guarantee you this last couple of years, the time that I have his mother is very special. Why? Because she was sick all this time. But for us, their mother is still alive. Our dad is still alive and they're healthy. Sometimes we don't spend the quality time with them. But you also know that actually God will be, she's with God. What else do you want? She's with God. And this is the hope that is inside all of us. So yes, it's good to be sad, but also don't overly sad, just like the Gentile. We are sad because we lose the one that we love, but we are also joyful because they are in eternal life with our Lord Jesus Christ. They are in paradise with our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the goal we all want to reach. So praise and thank God for his testimony. Brother Kyle, please.
Okay, let's all bow our heads and pray in silence. Amen. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, I testify. So when I was in eighth grade, I got a bug bite on my forearm, and I didn't know what kind of a bug bite it was, and mosquito bites happen every once in a while, so I dismissed it. But eventually, it turned really red and warm, and then it started expanding outwards until it covered most of my lower forearm, and then a red line started to go up my arm. And after a week, there was no improvement, and the line was starting to reach my upper arm. And I remember that my seventh grade health teacher told me that infections can manifest as lines or marks that begin to move towards the heart. And if they were allowed to reach the heart, then it would cause hospitalization or death. And so I finally decided, just one day out of the blue, I just decided to show my science teacher, and he told me to go see a doctor, which was something that I probably should have figured out already if a red line is moving up my arm. It was diagnosed as an infection, and it was what my seventh grade health teacher told me it was, and so I was given antibiotics. And about a week and a half later, the bite was fully recovered, and I just thought, well, okay, this is kind of weird, but it's probably the first and the last time I'll ever see it. But then in high school, I got another bug bite and got infected again. And this time, the red line traveled even faster. But then, you know, I just went to the doctor again, and I just got antibiotics again. And then to me, it was just like, okay, well, if this is going to keep happening, then I guess I'll just keep taking pills, right? So fast forward to 2014, and thank God that the summer of 2014, I got to attend music camp, MVP, and NYTS. And after I just finished music camp, and I was attending MVP, and I wanted to go to, and that the reason, part of the reason why I went to those three church events was that I wanted to spend some time away from the conflicts that I had at home. But God knew that was part of the reason, right? God knew that part of the reason I went was to spend a little time away from my mom. And so MVP went by. I thought it was just going to be an usual MVP. But then one day, several brothers woke up and they had flea bites. And then I was like, okay, flea bites. And then with each passing day, the brothers who got bitten first got more bites. And then the other brothers started to get bitten as well. And then I was observing the sleeping locations of the brothers who got bitten, right? So it pretty much started in the very back. And it just started moving closer and closer to the front of the chapel, right? And I was sleeping in the middle. So every day I moved a little closer to the front. And then and then I thought it was pretty clever, right? Because and then there were only 2 days of MVP left. And then I moved from maybe the moved around to the third row, and then and I woke up and it was just an ordinary day, and I went to shower, and then after a while in the shower my elbow started itching a little, and then I was like, oh, that's kind of weird, and but I was just kind of scratching it, and then after a while I just halfway through the shower I was just scratching it the whole time because it was so itchy. And I didn't have a clue what it was. And I stepped out of the shower and I lifted my elbow. And then there was a red line that was all the way here. And then actually to show you some pictures of what it looked like, I went home. And I'm not sure if you guys can see that, but it started from my elbow. And then because you have to draw lines to mark where it is at any given point in time to see how fast it goes. And then there's this. It started on the forearm, and then it just kept going up my arm. So I was keeping track of that. So at that point, I was a little upset because I knew that I had to get antibiotics for it, and I just woke up, and it was already so far up my arm. And I was really conflicted because I really didn't want to go home. I thought that, I came to MVP and I want to go to NYTS to seek after God. But if I go home, maybe I won't even be able to go to NYTS anymore because my mom would want me to stay home until it completely went away. And I knew that it would take 2 or 3 weeks before it went away. But in the end, I decided, heal first. So I called my mom and I let her know, and she arrived and she was pretty flustered. She was kind of angry at me, out of worry. And so I kind of got angry at that, and I just felt like I had the stronger mind and better faith because I didn't panic over such small things. So I went home and I got the antibiotics, and thank God that I did get better before NYTS, even though the mark was still there, but it had completely stopped. And the theme of NYTS was following Lord Jesus. And I didn't think too much about my relationship with my mom. I just focused on the event. But as I learned more and more about God's love and how God saved me, and I listened to the sermons, and I prayed about my direction in life, I slowly felt that my heart was softening. And halfway through the second week, I felt the top of my foot itch as I was walking back from class. And I didn't take it as a hint because my feet never itch. So I just didn't think that there was anything wrong with it. I just thought maybe I just, I don't know, sock or something. So but at night when I got ready for bed, I took my socks off and I saw that I had gotten more bites except on my foot. And now it was also starting, you saw the red line was also starting to appear. And now I was really, really upset because I really wasn't ready to go home and face my mom because I really wanted to listen to the Word of God. I really wanted to pray more. And I felt like if I went home and I wasn't ready, then maybe I would start something again, or maybe I'd yell at my mom and ruin all the progress that I had. But I prayed, I prepared myself to, it was nighttime, so I prepared myself to pray in the prayer room, to pray earnestly that God would heal me so I could stay. But at the same time, because my heart was softened, I thought about it and I accepted that maybe it's God's will that I have to go home early and I have to face this, my mom to learn how to love her more and get along with her this way, that maybe God, this is what God wanted me to do. So to prepare myself, I explained the situation to my group members and I asked them to pray with me one last time. And I thought to myself that if the infection moved quickly overnight, then I could just call my mom in the morning and tell the coordinators afterwards so I could leave quietly because I knew that once I left, then I wouldn't be coming back. But to my surprise, I only told a couple group members. I told my group leader and maybe a couple group members who were closest to me. But they told my other group members, which I told them not to tell, but they told them anyway, and then they told the coordinators, and then the coordinators told the pastor, and then they all got into a room to pray for me, and then and in that moment, you know, I really didn't know what was going to happen, so I just asked God to give me more love to submit to my mom, even if she came to pick me up and got angry and blamed me and said I wasn't careful enough, because my parents bought me bug spray to use, but I didn't use it because I didn't think that the fleas would have gotten over, and it was already the second week. But in that moment, I thought back about everything that I had learned at NYTS because I knew that I would have to use all of it if I went back home. And then that's when, in prayer, I really realized how much God loved me and how he forgave all my sins. And I thought about what I thought about my mom, and I held on to so many things that she did that I felt like were injustices. You know, things like not letting me go out with my friends or making me stay in my room and do homework, or just keeping me, I just felt like I was being overprotected and I wasn't being allowed to do what I wanted to do. And when I didn't do well in school and she still insisted on certain ways, I held it against her and I said that she wasn't letting me grow up. And I really felt, and during that prayer, I felt so ashamed because I realized that, you know, they're really such small things compared to what God had forgiven me. And I spent so much of NYTS forgiving me, and I felt the joy and the burden that was lifted off my shoulders. And yet here I still remembered all the things that, you know, I felt that my mom had wronged me. So I really asked God to help me to forgive me and also to help me to submit to my mom. And I just prepared myself to go home because I felt like it was not going to be resolved. But then after the prayer, I found out that someone called a church brother who was a doctor. And then the doctor wrote the same prescription that I got for the antibiotics after MVP. And then another church member drove me to a CVS to pick it up. So now at church, I had the antibiotics. So I began to take it, and I was really happy because I was like, yes, I can, you know, stay at church and I can, you know, have a little more time before I go home. But at the same time, I really wanted to pray about it. And all of a sudden, I got an idea because my group members and I, we fasted a lot and we prayed for some other group members who hadn't received the Holy Spirit yet. And I thought, I want to fast, but to take this medication, I can't take it without water. So for some reason, I just decided I'm just not going to take the medication, and I'm going to fast, because I feel like it's worth. For some reason, I just felt like I just had a feeling that maybe God would heal me. So I had only taken maybe four pills about that time, and then I went to pray. And then afterwards, I didn't notice an improvement. And in fact, maybe it got a little worse. And I thought, okay, maybe I made a mistake. But I decided to keep going and really seek after God. And then and then after that, with each prayer, the mark began to get smaller and smaller. And in 3 days, it was almost completely gone. So this is, sorry, I keep showing you guys stuff that is, it's not the nicest thing to look at, my foot. But here's what it looked like when I was first bitten. And then there's the line that's, okay, you can't really see it, but later on, it turned from a huge red circle to just a tiny red dot in the center, and then it was completely gone. And then when I went home and walked around barefoot in the house, my mom never noticed it, and that was in 3 days. So thank God that, you know, and I also attended post-NYTS, and the whole time I really, really prayed, and I was moved by God to try to love my mom more and just to be more loving to her and be more submissive. And then when I went home and she came to pick me up, once I got in the car, she was actually smiling at me. And then she started having a conversation with me. And at first I was like, you know, is this really happening? Like, is this, I'm having a conversation with my mom right now, you know? And then I just sat there and then I was listening to what she was saying. And then, you know, it's just what moms say, right? It's not, she talks about just really ordinary stuff. Like, you know, what do you want to eat? And you want to go buy groceries? Or, you know, and then we can go home and then we can make dinner for dad and stuff like that. And I was listening to her talking. I'm just like, yeah, okay. And I didn't feel like all of a sudden it just didn't sound like nagging anymore. And I just talked to my mom more and more and more. And then after that, you know, we never really had an argument. And I just realized that before, it was the person, even though sometimes our parents, you know, tell us to do things that may or may not be according to the Bible, but aside from that, most of the time, parents do ask us to do very reasonable things, right? They tell us to do chores or that sort of thing. Or sometimes when we want something or when we want to do something, sometimes they'll just say no. But is there anything wrong with that? No, right? There's nothing wrong with that. And so with regards to God's healing, I also would like to use Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So twice I thought that I was really going to miss out on the whole summer of church events because I got the bug bites. But actually God used it so that I could think more about my relationship with my mom. I'd also like to refer to Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12. Verse 12. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. Right? So if we have hate in our hearts, if we feel like, you know, our parents are doing us injustice and we don't think about God's love, then it will only cause problems. Right? But if we love one another, and sometimes we feels like, now, even if we make mistakes toward one another in our relationships, then we can pray for each other, right? And remember that the commandment to obey the parents and honor our father and mother is the first commandment with promise, right? That it can be well with us and that we may live long on the earth. So let's remember that when we go home to our parents, let's Remember that love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. It thinks no evil. It does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. And it bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. So thank God for all that he's taught me. And may all the glory be unto his name. Amen.
Please thank God for Brother Carl's testimony and the bug bites that he had so many times. And he actually, you know, many TJC churches have a lot of bugs. It's true. Right? I get bit many, many times too. But that's not his main testimony. His main testimony is that the reason why he focused, he wanted to go all those to different seminars. And the reason why he wanted to go all those seminars is what? What was the reason? Yes, get away, right, from family, especially his mother, especially his mother. So that was his goal. So, but he went there, of course, he got bit by fleas, things like that, and then he got infected. And then he mentioned to his mother that he got bit, and she was angry, and she was worried, and he was thought to himself, why do I seem to have more faith in my mother, right? Because I'm not worried, and this and that, why? Of course, for mothers, they're always concerned about it, that is for sure. But then, of course, he got some antibiotic, and it was good. Then, of course, he got bit again. And when he got bit again, and at this time, he just feel like he really want to focus, you know, to go to the seminar. Why can't he just, you know, focus and go to the seminar? But in the end, you know, he got infection again, and then had to call his mother. But we know the last time he got bit, he really knew that actually maybe God did want him to go back home to amend his relationship, you know, with his mother before he can come and serve God. And just like in the book of Matthew, we're talking about the Sermon on the Mount, right? If you bring a gift to the altar, you must first, right, be a good term with the people around you. And of course, you know, his mother is his mother. So, and then he was surprised that because even though this time that, you know, that his foot got bit, and it got infected. But God took care of everything. Because why? Because during the time he thought about, you know, when the time that his foot got bit, he came to a conclusion that actually, you know, look how much God, you know, have shown me, have loved me, have taken care of me, and why I cannot love my mother the same way. I think that was a turning point. Right? It was a turning point. So when he thought about this, his focus, like, okay, it's okay if I go back, but I want to amend my relationship with my mother and to love her more and to care for her more. And that's the time God put everything in play. So, you know, they prayed for him, then they got the doctor write him prescription. Then after that, you know, his foot was healed, even though within 3 days. Then the most wonderful thing is that you can see that, you know, Brother Kyle doesn't smile too much, right? He's quite a serious brother, right? But when he said, his mother picked him up, and she started to converse with him, just like a normal person, right? So now would maybe all the other time, probably just yelling and screaming and things like that. And I'm sure many of you go through that, right? But when his mother conversed him, even though she didn't say anything that's really important, right? Said, what food are we going to go buy, and we're going to cook for your dad, and this and that. But he felt comforted because he felt that God really amended their relationship. And even though I'm sure that all of us, you know, we must work on our relationship with our parents, but the most important, because our Lord Jesus Christ, he's the wonderful counselor. So any problem that you have with anyone, the best way is to pray for them and to pray for our Lord Jesus Christ to comfort us. And that's the only way that really that you and I will have a great relationship. You know, there's a brother was in TTP with me, and this brother is just the opposite of me, right? He's all, you know, he's, you know, if I say red, he say yellow. You know, it's just that kind of person, right? And I had to spend months with this brother. And I mean, that point, in the beginning, I say, man, what a pain, right? What a pain, I have to go through this, right? And thank God, even though he's still a pain, but the way I react to the pain is very different. Why? Because we pray with one another at least 2 hours a day. And because of this, we become like best pal, even though he's still a pain. But we, until now, we're still very good friends. And that's how God amend our relationship, and that is very important. So that's why, especially with your parents, please, like you quote, of course, you know, honor your mother and your father is the first, you know, commandment that comes with a promise. That is a promise of peace, a promise of joy, a promise of comfort, a promise of long life. So if any one of you have any kind of ill will against your parents, you really must repent. You must repent. There's no way that your parents can do things to you that, you know, that you and I did not do to our Lord Jesus Christ, right? And Lord Jesus Christ be able to forgive us. How much more? Like I told you about my mother, MSG, right? MSG mother, you know? And really, I mean, she made me sick. I mean, many times I have severe migraine because of her MSG. But never once I would just rebuke her and yell and scream at her, right? And even though she lied to me too, right? But, you know, she's my mother, right? And she wanted me to taste good food with MSG, but but my mind just kind of handled it, right? So really, just take everything very lightly, right? Don't take so serious in our parents, right? They love us, they care for us, and just continue to love them. So we are running out of time. Caleb, where's Caleb? Yes. So maybe try to figure something out for you to testify, but right now it's already 4:45, and the next class is not mine, so I cannot give you any more time. So Caleb would say, thank God, okay. Maybe we can save you for next year. Okay. Before we conclude, we really praise and thank God, and please bow your head and pray in silence.